You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, powered by Diaga.ie and proudly sponsored by Flomax. Be sure to check out our brand new website, BetweenTheStripes.ie, while you can find us on Twitter at Between Stripes or on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Now, here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, series 3, episode 3 tonight. It's a star-studded lineup and I'm always, as ever, joined by my star-studded co-host, John Breyer.
Don't know about star-studded, Kieran, you get me giggled with that one.
How's things, John?
Good. I'm looking forward to the show because we've some great big-name guests on tonight.
Yeah, we've knocked it out of the park this week, but in terms of our listenership figures in the last 2 weeks, we've certainly knocked it out of the park. Two shows to start the season that both had over 1,000 listeners, and if you throw in our Christmas special as well, that was well over 1,000. So we've got the hat trick. Let's keep it rolling tonight, folks. Make sure you like, share and subscribe on iTunes, and share us around on social media, because as John said, they're huge guests tonight. We're going to be joined by Dinny Corcoran, the Dublin Derby hero from Monday night. From the Shamrock Rovers camp, we have Aaron McInniff, of course, that huge game coming up at Talla Stadium on Friday night between Rovers and Dundalk. And finally, Vinnie Faherty gives us the First Division angle as the Galway United striker joins us on the show. But John, once again this week, I'm going to start with a little rant.
Here we go.
So the great news is the highlights situation has been sorted. The clubs now have the freedom to put up their own highlights. Wow, yeah. Great. Imagine being able to show something that actually belongs to them, you know, match highlights. What annoyed me this week was, again, the people in charge of this league, the FAI.
This is very unlike you, Kieran.
Oh, yeah. What we were told all along was that it was RTE that had the issue with the rights. Now, maybe in other seasons they did, but this should have been sorted from day one, start of the season. We've lost out on a couple of weeks of instant highlights now where there's some great goals going in. People have been very critical of Soccer Republic. We've actually said that we think the new format is quite good.
Nothing wrong with it, Kieran,
but
in my eyes.
Why did it take? It took public pressure for this to happen. Yeah. Basically, Dan McDonald and John O'Sullivan were very, very public on this on Twitter. And their tweets eventually kind of showed everyone that the issue wasn't from RT, it was from Abbottstown. Eventually, the FAI have backed down. They released a very sheepish statement yesterday, I should say. And the highlights now are free to show. But again, it just shows the disdain for this league from the FAI. The people in charge, they don't care about promoting the league. All the clubs are doing amazing work in terms of promo videos at the minute. Yeah. So, Frank Gavin, you claim to listen to a lot of the podcasts. If you're listening to this, you're more than welcome to come on and defend the actions of the FAI. But the last couple of weeks, it's been a sheer embarrassment, to be honest. From the league launch, complete and utter shambles, no mention of the First Division, as we said on last week's show, to the blunder with the announcement of the NIFL game at the end of the season. And we can go through a list and we take up an entire show with it. It's just gone beyond a joke. And it's time now for the clubs to start speaking out on this, because our league has not been governed.
To me, Kieran, there's a lack of planning. Everything seems reactive.
Yeah.
You know, nothing's sorted out in advance. Everything's firefighting and dealt with on a ad hoc basis. You know, there's no organisation, Kieran. Mm.
Well, as we said, the only positive is now the clubs have the freedom to use these highlights, and hopefully we're going to see some screamers go in the next few weeks. And like last season when Ian Morris scored that goal in the cup, it went viral, over a million views on Twitter. That's what we need in this league.
And what I have to say is a lot of the clubs are really, really good at doing it. So, yeah. You know, I only have to look at Longford Town's announcement of Erden, the video there. You know, that was great to see. And there's plenty of that going on clubs. Some really good pre-season stuff from the likes of Bowes.
Shell's had an excellent one.
Yeah,
out there.
So, you know, then
as well, you have the new stand now at Talla, and when a goal goes in there, it just looks absolutely fantastic on the television. So yeah. we need to get the live game situation sorted. We won't go on much longer on this, but you know, one game every 5-6 weeks, you cannot build a league off that. Would we be better off not having any TV deal and setting up some type of streaming service? Mike Tracy has been tweeting about this week, where he put up a poll: would fans be willing to pay €30 a month for an online streaming service? And I think it was 80-90% said yes.
Yeah, I think there's something similar in the lower leagues in England where you can watch it online, you know, especially if you're an exiled fan, yeah. You know. But so I think it does have the potential, that, but to me, still like to see the live games on telly.
Because we heard all this hype at the start of the season about the streaming service that is there, the betting thing.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of pictures of that. It looks like they borrowed Finn Harp's camera to...
It's crap. It doesn't work half the time. So I don't know what the big upgrade was, but Yeah, look, let's get stuck into the show. I just had to get that off my chest this week. That really did annoy me this week.
I hope there's a few people still listening.
Yeah. So let's start, John, with the Premier Division results from the weekend. Obviously, two sets of fixtures because there was Friday night games and Monday night games. We'll start with the Friday night games. I want to start at Turner's Cross. I tipped this one, I have to say.
You did. You got this one right.
Yeah, a spanking St. Mel's game this week. Actually, we'll speak about that later in the show.
Well, that's a rarity for a start. This is a limited edition, collector's edition podcast then.
I wonder if these type of results, though, are going to be a rarity for Cork City this season. A 2-0 defeat at home to their Munster rivals, Waterford.
Yeah, really disappointing result for them. But they'll be delighted at Waterford with this, won't they? And, you know, it's a... I thought it was a bit of a surprise result. When you think where Cork were last season, but
look at the players they've lost, John.
I know. But, you know, and Scott Twine, he should have scored after great work early on from Bastianeri, but McNulty saved that. At the other end, good to see Kevin O'Connor back in the league.
Yeah, he looks a class actor.
Yeah, he had a volley blocked by the goalkeeper, but super goal to put them one up from that man Bastianeri.
Pulling the strings on the night.
Yeah, and I think he's going to do that all season.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
I was actually quite surprised he was still at Waterford this season.
Yeah, I have to agree.
You know, when you look at the talent he's got, and I'm sure there'll be clubs queuing up for him.
You look at all these midfielders Dundalk have brought in, surely someone like Heary would have fit the profile perfectly there.
Definitely. Twine, another chance, he fired wide, but it was Elbow Zadie. Have I pronounced that right?
Go on, good crack at that.
Yeah, good effort with it. But he scored on the counter to make it 2-0. Again, great vision from Harry to set him up.
Yeah, 100%. Well-deserved win for Waterford. Obviously, a lot of pressure coming on John Caulfield's shoulders after that game. But Cork have got back on a winning track with that win in Sligo on Monday night. We'll speak about that later. Let's move on to our next one, John. Big home win for Shamrock Rovers. 2-0 over Derry.
Yeah, and I think the Derry had a great start to the season, but bit bounced back down to earth with this one. Cherry served well early on from Green, and then Green actually scored, but he was judged offside from it. But I'm thinking all the times we've covered the podcast, there's a common theme: poor Derry defending, and it was that again that allowed Dylan Watts to fire home.
It was a great finish, has to be said.
It was, yeah, but the line should have been cleared.
Declan Devine was quite angry after the game, very disappointed, because he didn't feel there was a lot between the sides, but as you said, it was individual errors, it was defensive errors that were the difference at a team like Shamrock Rovers with the players they have, players like Dylan Watts. They punished Derry on the night.
Derry have to get this right, because it's a common theme season after season, and until they get the defence right, they're going to struggle. Kavanagh should have made it 2-0, but the second came from Aaron McAniff's very, very cheeky penalty against his old club.
Yeah, we've just come off the phone with Aaron, obviously pre-recorded the interview, and it'll be playing for you towards the end of the show tonight, but we had a little chuckle about that one. What a penalty.
What a penalty, and a bit of a celebration as well.
Yeah, it didn't go down well. I had a little search of his name, I have to say, on Twitter, and there was some stuff that wasn't too nice, but look, that's part of the game.
One more flashpoint from that game, which I've got to say, an awful scythe from behind from Jamie McDonough. No intention of getting the ball at all. Red card every day. They should throw the book at him.
Yeah, I tweeted about this one last night when I was watching back the highlights. Just a complete lack of discipline. Very petulant.
Yeah. It's
and even after that, he very slow in getting off the field. And then Greg Bulger comes over. And right, we've given Bulger some stick down the years. But he was right to come over and defend his teammate there, who took a very bad tackle, as you say. And then McDonagh squares up to him and it all kicks off. So, as you said,
tackle, Kieran. Yeah, it was just a swipe. He just lashed out. Yeah. I'd expect that from our under-14s, Kieran. Not the likes of Jamie McDonagh.
Yeah, he just lost the head there. And as you said, I think the book could be thrown at him because he was slow to leave the field. It was a bit of a fracas after that. So it'd be interesting to see what comes of that.
Possibly more to come. Harps won Dundalk one, right? Another surprise scoreline, Kieran.
Yeah, slow start for Dundalk, but it's very much following the pattern of last season where Dundalk drew their opening three games, didn't play poorly in them, didn't play overly well. They were just ticking along. And you have to feel that they will give a team a right hammer. And
Yeah. I was thinking that myself, because they had chances again. They're just not quite taking them at the moment. Duffy's shot was well saved by Burke in the Harps goal. And then a overhead kick from Hoban. That went wide. And the massive free kick that hit the bar. You know, chance. Mm. But it was Harps that owned the scoring. And it was a player that you really rate, centre-back Keith Cowan, scored it.
You spoke about us being surprised that Bastian Heary is still at Waterford. I'm surprised Keith Cowan's still at Harps. He's just a colossal centre-half.
We've said it before. How much he'd do for that Derry defence that we've talked about? But we rate him. He got the header. You know, he's dangerous both ends of the field. Yeah, you know, 1-0. Rodgers, he looks a little bit shaky, I have to say, so far this season. He's just about safe from the evergreen Raf Cotaro. But it was... you know, Harps hadn't done the homework. How many times have we seen a corner go in and Gartland on the end of it?
Brilliant header.
Yeah, and he's such a menace in the air. Mm. So, but Harps could have won it at the end as well, you know. So.
Yeah, had a chance to break away at the end. Very well organised Harps. They've obviously got a point then on Monday night as well against Pats when they wouldn't have been fancied to pick anything up. So that structure is there, I suppose. We shouldn't be surprised about that given the way Ollie Horgan sets his team up.
He really played that result down, though, didn't he, Ollie Horgan? Yeah,
he's saying, that's what he does, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, it's a really good point. And a promising start to the season from Harps.
Yeah, moving along to Harps neighbours, Sligo, they had a disappointing home defeat. They went down very late, and it was Mikey Drennan with the winner against his former club for Pats. Yeah. And he made sure the Sligo fans knew about it, too.
Oh, he did, didn't he? Yeah. So... started off with it's pretty uneventful first half. Highlight was Darren Markey. He did all the hard work and then blazed over a good chance. Second half, McCabe hit the bar. That was direct from a corner. But like I say, it was the Drennan shot cleared off the line, but he got the winner late on, and he enjoyed it.
I think I said when it was announced he was going to pass from Sligo.
You said they regret that decision.
They said they regret that massively. Yeah. And now I'm not sure if you've seen Liam Buckley's comments before where he was saying these two players, Reece McCabe and Drennan, got out on a loophole. So obviously the players themselves wanted to leave. It wasn't the Sligo let them go. But still, the fact that they got away, I just felt it was going to come back to bite them. And it did in this game.
I get a feeling Sligo are going to have a tough season this year, Kieran.
Yeah, I just don't see a lot of firepower. I don't see where the goals are going to come from.
No. If they might have to keep throwing lever up a cup front.
if they can get Ronan Coughlin fit, he could get 10 goals maybe in the Premier, but they're not. I think Drennan is going to be set for a fantastic season. Now, obviously, he has a lot more quality behind him in that Pats team, but again, I just really think I'd feel a lot more confident about Sligo's chances going forward if they had a player like that up front.
UCD, they're finding life a little bit tough at the top. They lost at home 2-0 to Bowes, but they should have gone in the lead. McClelland had a good chance after great work by a player that's caught your eye, Ferrugia.
Yeah, that chance probably came too early in the game, I think. It was in the first 30 seconds or so, Bowes were robbed of possession from the tip-off. Ferrugia breaks down the wing and then it's crossed into McClelland who puts it just wide of the post. But the pitch there didn't help either. I know you were unhappy with it. I noticed that myself on the coverage.
I'm really disappointed. UCD freshly promoted this season. The least they could do is have the pitch right.
See, there's rugby been played on it.
Well, why? it's a Premier Division team, you know, why allow rugby to be played on the surface?
I'm sure the rugby team's probably decent too, so
I don't care about the rugby team.
Yeah.
You know, but I think it's poor from UCD. Back in the top division and they're playing on that surface.
Yeah, and it used to be an absolute carpet, but I have noticed myself the last few times I was up there watching Longford Town play, the pitch is certainly very, very bumpy.
Colin O'Neill can't be happy. He wants to play football the right way as well. And to you know, he's trying to manage the team with his hand behind, one hand tied behind his back.
All the stick you gave the Oriel Park pitch last week, I'm sure you would have preferred to watch it at Oriel than watch it on a bumpy surface like that.
I think
you'd
end up with a neck brace watching the ball bounce at Oriel. Mandrillo, though, what a pile driver for the first goal.
What a goal. And we've been talking about the highlights and getting goals shown. This is the type of thing we need to promote. Yeah. Young player coming into the league scores an absolute screamer. Good crowd as well, it must be said. About 1,000 Bulls fans travelling over.
But
that's still quite a good home. There was about 1,600 at the game. So 500-600 UCD fans there. That's positive.
Excellent. Dinny Corcoran, he got the second from across. 2-0 half time.
That was some goal from Dinny Corcoran.
Oh, it was, yeah. He's a great scorer, isn't goal scorer, isn't he?
Just scores all types of goals.
Yeah, we're looking forward to talk to him in a minute. I have to say, in the second half, a man that's doing well so far, and he's had big shoes to replace, is this lad Talbot in goals.
Yeah, 3 games, 3 clean sheets. I was speaking to their goalkeeping coach, Chris Benyon, our good friend, and he's very, very happy with how things have started.
I'm sure he is, yeah. He said very well from McClelland and from across as well. So, you know, that's, like you say, 3 games, 3 clean sheets.
Yeah, let's talk about the other end of the pitch. It's Dinny Corcoran that's getting all the headlines at the moment. And I'm delighted to say Dinny joins us on the show now. Okay, Bulls fans, we disgracefully left you out of last week's show through my very poor editing, and we've had plenty of tweets in, so we said we'd make it up to you this week. And what better man to get on the show than Monday night's derby hero? It's Dinny Corcoran. Dinny, you're welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
How's it going, lads? All right.
Dinny, what a week it's been.
Yeah, it's been a great great 10 or 11 days now, I have to say. 3 wins and 3 clean sheets, 3 goals for myself. It's been great, yeah. Great start.
Looked an unreal atmosphere there in that derby. How good is it to play in those Dublin derbies, Dinny?
Ah, yeah, they're great. Obviously, it's the fixture all the fans look for at the start of the season. And to be honest, it's playing in them is quite nerve-wracking. They're very tense games, you know. They're not very enjoyable, you know, unless you win them. But thankfully we did, and we're delighted, yeah.
We had Bose fan John Connor on before at the start of the season. He tipped you as a top goal scorer, and we looked it up, and you were 25 to 1 at that stage. You're into 6 to 1 now, Dinny. So some start from you.
Yeah, well, started well anyway. So I finished last season strong as well, so, and I started this one strong. So it's fairly early to be picking top scorer, but I've definitely made a good start. And, yeah, if I keep fit, I'll be hoping to continue the scoring form, yeah.
And you've probably seen we had Fabio on at the beginning of the season. He was actually tipping you for relegation. That went a bit viral. So I'd say you're enjoying watching him eat his words at the moment.
Well, yeah, at the moment. But like I said, it's very early. We're only 3 games in, and teams are kind of starting to find their feet now, you know. So there's going to be big changes, obviously, on them. Yeah, it's too early to predict anything. I think Dundalk and Cork haven't really got going yet. Some teams, like I said, it's just new squad starting to gel, kind of. But I'd hope he's eating his words. I hope we're not down there come the end of the season.
And Keith's trying to keep you level-headed, feet on the ground at the moment, despite the really good start.
Yeah, of course. There's a lot of tough games coming up. But, I mean, when we've seen the fixtures and seeing first 2 games were Finn Harps and UCD, we didn't take them for granted, but we thought it was a great chance to get 6 points. And luckily we did get the 6 points before heading into the Rovers game. And after winning that, now we're on cloud 9 at the moment, you know, but we can't get ahead of ourselves. We have to stay grounded and water for the way. And on Friday, it's going to be a very tough game. So we're just hoping to continue our form, yeah.
Yeah, we're looking at that Waterford match. They've had a bit of a mixed start, but Bastian Heary once again seems to be pulling the strings for them. You must have a plan in place for him.
Well, we don't have a specific plan for him because they've a lot of good players, to be honest with you. They've got JJ Looney from us and Izzy from us, obviously, and Shane Duggan from Limerick, very good player as well. So, yeah, they have a good squad. They're a strong squad, and it's going to be tough down there. They've a good fan base. They always get behind them. So it's going to be a very tough game, and we're just preparing to get something out of it.
You must be glad you're not a defender. Izzy must be very difficult to play against.
Yeah, he is. He's quick. He's strong. He's athletic. Yeah, he's a nightmare for defenders. But yeah, thankfully I won't be back there anyway. Please God.
Dinny, tell us a bit about this young man, Daniel Mandrew. He's ripping it up early on in the season, an absolute screamer against UCD. Can you give us a bit more information on him? Obviously, a new name into the league.
Yeah, I didn't know much about him when we signed him, obviously, but he's come back from Brighton, and yeah, straight away I could see there's something special about him. He's very easy on the eye. He's a lovely player. He's great with the feet at his ball. Sorry, the ball at his feet. He's very very technical, you know. He showed that against UCD with that goal. What a strike. And he's very young still. He's still improving. Keith and Trevor are doing their best to get the best out of him because he still has a lot to work on. But, he's been excellent for us so far, and hopefully he's still improving and we'll see the best of him now in the coming weeks.
Yeah, and there seems to be plenty of good young talent coming through there at Bohemians. Obviously, you have the young man coming back from Leicester as well by the looks of things. So a bit of assistance for yourself there in the goal scoring terms.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Ali Regba was over at Leicester. I thought he was actually going to sign. I heard he was going to sign, but yeah, he's back with us now. He showed towards the end of the last season what he's about, and he's a handful, Ali, and I think he's only 18 or 19, and he's definitely competition for me now. Himself and Sam Byrne and Ryan Swan all providing competition now, so it's great, because to be honest, I haven't really had as much competition over the years through injuries and stuff, so keep me on my toes. But yeah, there's a lot of young players there now. I'm the second oldest in the squad. I couldn't believe that. But yeah, it's a young, very young team, but they're hungry lads and they're good professionals. So I think they'll do well.
Yeah, I've seen Regba a couple of times for the Irish underage teams there when they played in the City Calling, and he just looks such a physical presence.
Yeah, that's what I said to the lads. He reminds me of Diego Costa. I think, you know, you'd be in a game after marking him for the 90 minutes. Yeah, he's a lot of hustle and bustle.
Well, I hope he's better behaved than Costa. But look, Dinny, Keith Long, final question, Keith Long, how does he keep doing it? I mean, you've lost so many good players in the off-season, small budget, as we know, a part-time club, and you're not just going up against the big boys every week, you're turning them over. It's an incredible achievement.
Yeah, geez, Keith deserves a lot of credit now. For the last few years, we've kind of, he's had to rejig the whole squad through people leaving. Like, it's hard to compete with the full-time teams who are offering big money to the young lads, you know, so it's hard to hold on to them. And geez, the off-seasons must be a headache for him, having to kind of rebuild the whole squad. And but look, he's overachieved the last few years. He's done an excellent job himself and Trevor Crowley, so I don't know how he does it, but he deserves a huge amount of credit. And yeah, this season more than ever, we lost a lot of big personalities in the dressing room, like Supple and Ian Morris and Paddy Kavanagh. So I'm sure it was a massive headache for him, but he's got a lot of young lads in, and so far they've been excellent. And I mean, we've got 3 wins from 3, so we're off to a perfect start. So he deserves a huge amount of credit, he does.
And just on Paddy Kavanagh, obviously he's announced his retirement this week. Great professional, great player. Bit disappointing to see him leave the league, actually, because Johnny, he was such a great winger.
Yeah, Paddy be missed. Yeah, both on the pitch and off the pitch. He was an absolute gentleman, Paddy was. And yeah, he'd be missed throughout the whole league. He was a quality player for many years, and to just leave like that, I didn't see it coming, you know. It was very sudden throughout the last season, so it's very sad to lose him in the dressing room and on the pitch. But I actually seen him today and spoke to him. He's keeping well, and yeah, he'll be missed, Paddy. Yeah,
yeah, he's been lost from the changing room, but I see the chipper has gained them back Monday night, so that was a brilliant bit of PR from Paddy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the old chipper man, he loves it.
Dinny, absolutely superb having you on. Thank you very much for joining us. You've met our Bulls listeners, very, very happy, and best wishes for the rest of the season. Keep up the good form.
Thank you very much, Kieran. Thanks for having me.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
So, Kieran, we're going to move on to Monday night's games, and the first game wouldn't be Bows against Rovers, and a bit of controversy in this one, Kieran.
What was the controversy? Let's tell our listeners, you just had to restart this last cut because you couldn't say that word, and then I've gone and thrown it all up.
Yeah, but, yeah. What a mess.
I'm going to crack on. I don't do editing, so.
Right, okay. So, red card, mate. Was it a red card or wasn't
100%.
It?
100%. He goes over the top of the ball, John. I thought it was a very dangerous tackle.
Yeah, yeah. I have to agree. Watching it, it was fully deserved. Red card for me all day.
I think when you slow it down, because I've seen a few people tweeting about it, and they've put up still images and they've slowed it down, etc. It doesn't actually look as bad as a full pace. It looked like quite a full... I think it was an honest attempt to win the ball. I don't think he's gone into doom by any stretch of the imagination, but you can't go in with your studs raised like that over the top of the ball. It's a red card all day long. There's no debate about it for me.
Looked another great atmosphere there, Kieran. Some great photos of some black and white ones with the flares in each end. They look brilliant.
Yeah.
So the goal scorer, Kieran?
Dinny Corcoran from the penalty spot, John. So that's 3-3 now for him, as we just heard there in the interview. 6-1 now. Do you fancy him to pip Holman for the Golden Boot this season?
Well, I think there's other contenders as well. I think Mikey Drennan might have a word in that one as well. So... you know, there's not just Pat Holman to think about, but we'll talk about Dundalk next, because they had a 2-1 win over UCD, not as easy as I thought they'd have there. Kieran, do you want to talk us through that one?
1-0 down, Ferrugia, that man you mentioned already on the show, getting the opener. Very, very nervous atmosphere around Oriel Park then. You could hear a pin drop, but Hooban's got them back in the game from the penalty spot, and then a bit of magic from Duffy, what we've seen so many times in the Lily White shirt. He's cut in from the right, he's just curled it into the bottom corner, and Dundalk have seen it out for a win. But a very, very good performance from UCD, just like we've seen in the cup fixture towards the end of last season at Oriel Park. But Vinnie Part's first win in charge. So are we going to see Dundalk kick on now, John?
Well, I think they needed something like that, and they needed...
the longer that winless streak went on, the more pressure was going to build.
Yeah, it's a bit of a monkey on the back, and then they're always going to get he's always going to get the easy the man to replace Stephen Kenny, and you know, they had to get a win eventually, and they'll be delighted no matter how it's gone. They'll be delighted with that. The crunch match is this weekend.
Yeah, and we'll be speaking about that game shortly. And from a UCD point of view, they need to get something on the board now quite quickly too. So interesting game this weekend when they host St. Pat's. But we'll move along to the next one, John.
Yeah, and Derry are trying to create Fortress Brandywell, and they're making a good start of it so far. 3-2 victors over the impressive start in Waterford.
Yeah, Dublin Derby aside, Monday night, this was probably the game of the round. A 3-2 win, so a 5-goal thriller. The goal scorers Harkin for Derry and two own goals, which you don't see too often. Duggan from the penalty spot for Waterford, and Corey Galvin with an absolute peach for Waterford. But unfortunately, it wasn't enough. The Blues lose away from home. But as you said, Derry are starting to turn the Brandywell into a bit of a fortress again. So no shame in Waterford going away and losing to Derry. The performance will please Alan Reynolds, and it's been a decent start for Waterford, but they'll be obviously disappointed not to have built on that win over Cork in the Munster Derby on Friday night.
Team informed St. Pat's, they were held by that very dogged defence of Finn Harps, 0-0 there.
Yeah, a very resolute Finn Harps performance once again away from home, backed by a decent travelling support, it must be said, for a Monday night. Pat's not at their best in this one. The best chance is coming from the right hand side, Simon Madden putting in a couple of dangerous crosses, but in truth a draw was probably a fair result. Pats will be looking to improve next time when they travel to UCD.
And finally, John Caulfield will be delighted with this one, getting a 2-1 win, and certainly his celebrations at the end showed how much that one meant to him.
Yeah, I'm glad you've mentioned that, because I think that was quite important. A lot of pressure, a lot of negative commentary coming towards John Caulfield after those opening two defeats, but a good performance from Cork. Sligo with a late goal through Kyle McFadden after McLaughlin and Morrissey. Morrissey with a screamer in this one for Cork. I had given Cork a 2-0 lead. Sligo with a late rally, even throwing the big man Leverock up front. We gave him a bit of a hammering after his debut in Oriel, but he seems to have steadied slightly. So disappointing at home, the result, and not a great performance in truth from Sligo. Cork away from home, very, very good. Gets them on the board now. So it'd be interesting to see if they can build on this.
Yeah, I think just like we were talking about Dundalk, they'll be hoping this will be the springboard to start the season at Cork, because they've had a poor start, and I think they'll want to they'll look at the criticism that they're getting, and I think they'll want to try and make a point that they're not going to be also-rans this season.
Still interviews to come with Vinnie Flaherty and Aaron McAneff, but John, let's move along to the First Division review now. It was the opening weekend in the First Division and some very interesting results. We will start at United Park. Obviously, it's a big year for Drogheda United. Centenary year. Drogheda 4-0 winners over Cove, but all the talk after the game, Stephen Henderson very, very unhappy with the match officials. Cove were late arriving at the ground due to travel issues. The referee only gave them 10 minutes then to warm up. What do you make of that?
Well, I think they need to start bringing a mechanic with them for a start, Kieran. You know, I'm trying to think of other leagues where this has happened, where teams have turned up late and I can't think that matches have been really put back that much. Can you think of any examples? Maybe Man United in Europe,
So if the Champions League can put a game back and the Premier League can put a game back, I'm sure.
But I don't think they put them back by much. I think they didn't give them too long, that's for sure.
10 minutes is not adequate warm-up time.
No, it's not. No,
and especially after five and a half hours on a bus.
Yeah, you know, this is our League of Ireland, and sure, you have to give a bit of leeway.
I spoke to a couple of Cove fans as well to travel down, and they just said the arrogance the match officials showed when the players tried to talk to them. They were just dismissed very, very in a poor manner. So that's something you do notice a lot of League of Ireland grounds. Some of these referees, they just can't be spoken to. But look, Stephen Henderson did admit himself that regardless of what went on, Drogheda were the better side on the night and they deserved the win. And Tim Clancy will be delighted to have started the season with 4 goals.
Yeah, well, they started quick after probably Cove was still half asleep on the bus when Doyle and Lyons put them 2-0 up, and then a red card for Keane Leonard. That would have done him no favours whatsoever.
Yeah, he'd be kind of one of the main men they'd be looking for goals this season. He gets sent off so early now, he's going to lose a bit of momentum, lose a bit of match fitness, and Cove might struggle for goals again this season.
Yeah, Wickstead and the second for Doyle. So, a pretty simple 4-0 win for Drogheda. They'll be delighted with that.
Yeah, it gives them great momentum now travelling to Longford on Saturday. We'll speak about that shortly when we're playing our St. Mel's Brewery prediction game. Let's move on to the next fixture. Very disappointing start for Cabinteely. There's always so much talk about them, whether the project can build and whether they can progress. but they were beaten heavily 3-0 by Bray Wanderers.
You know me, I don't like these projects, Kieran, for a start.
But, don't use that word.
Yeah, to me, Cabo have got a bit stuck. And they're not progressing. I know when there's a lot of talk about how they want to develop the team, develop
The facilities. There is a new stand in there, a little stand.
Yeah, great. But that's they're going to have a season of struggle as far as I'm concerned. I'm putting them down around the bottom. And, you know, when you're coming up against Bray, a lot of investment in Bray, and they're coming across the First Division's, one of the best players in the First Division last season, Dylan McGlade, and he did not disappoint.
Yeah, double on his debut for Bray, so that's got to please Gary Cronin immensely. I mean, if McGlade can catch fire early in the season, you could be looking at, again, 15, 20 goals, because he made a slow start with Longford when he came in, and then he caught fire middleways second towards the end of the season. So if he can catch fire early on in the season, anything can happen.
Absolutely, yeah. They'll be looking for him anyway to provide the goals and score the goals, and he certainly started the way he finished last season.
Moving along, Athlone Town, as expected, off to a flyer, 4-2 over Wexford.
Yeah, I don't think that tells the full story, Kieran, because Wexford went 1-0 up through Nugent, but the key moment of the match, Danny Furlong sent off. Wexford's main threat, their most recognised player, sent off after just 8 minutes.
That was an absolute killer blow for Wexford. As you said, they've gone 1-0 up at Lone. So much expectation about them this season, so they would have been deflated, because this is a game they would have been targeting to try and get that monkey off their back in terms of going so long without a league win. And then Furlong, as you said, the big marquee signing, the club legend, sent off after 8 minutes, and that was the turning point in the game.
Casey and Williams put Athlone 2-1 up. Jack Doherty gave Wexford a bit of hope with an equaliser, 2-2. But it's two ex-Town players, actually, that got the next two, Kaleem Simon and Keelan Dillon.
Yeah, Simon has impressed a lot of people in pre-season. Didn't really ever break into the team at Longford, was in and out. He's been away at a few other clubs and he struggled to get a foothold anywhere. So this is a great opportunity for him now at Lone, where he's going to play week in, week out, especially with Gary McCaffrey, as we heard last week, not up and running yet. And Keelan Dillon, I seen what he done in pre-season, an absolute rocket of a free kick against Harps.
He's capable of that,
yeah,
isn't he?
Yeah, he has it in the locker. Yeah. So if he can get himself fit and playing week in, week out as well, there's a couple of players you look at there, even Darren Meenan, he was in and out of that Longford team last season.
Yeah.
If he's playing week in, week out for Athlone, the players are getting to know each other better. There's a nice style of play coming into things there. They have the nice surface. Athlone could be one to watch.
And I think it's safe to say that Killeen never really got a good run out of Longford. He was in and out of the team.
I think it's fair to say Tony Cousins didn't really know his best position. He was playing up front, he was playing on the wing, he played in the number 10 role. So if he can nail down the position, he seems to be the centre forward at Lone.
Yeah,
an early goal will really boost his confidence.
You went to see a cracker, Limerick 0, Longford Town 0, Kieran.
Oh yeah, and you've mentioned the UCD pitch. The Limerick pitch was an absolute disgrace. Rugby again been played on it. From standing behind the goals, it looked great, but when you walked over to the middle of it, it looked like they'd let the horses out on it before the game. There was one incident where Anto Breslin had the ball at fullback. He's rolled a simple 5-yard pass across his own box towards Conor Kenna, and the ball's hopped up over his head. That's how bad the pitch was. It didn't help the game. Both teams, it was a real season opener, very slow tempo to the game.
Kieran, never mind the game on that. What's the feeling in Limerick after that? What's the latest there?
Well, you might have seen yesterday the news has come out now that Pat O'Sullivan has agreed to sell the club. So there was a good crowd. There was over 800 at the game. Good. It was a good atmosphere. But obviously results will dictate whether that atmosphere and that crowd continues to come. Limerick didn't play a lot of football on the night. I thought they were very direct. I thought they were very, very physical. And I did say that to you last week, that was my fear, that they might be too big for Longford. Longford tried to play very, very stale in the middle, I thought. And that's something, again, we mentioned last week, that we feel the middle three there of O'Connor, Zambra and Dervin, they're a bit similar. And it was only when Dean Byrne and Peter Hopkins came on that Longford really started to create and open up Limerick. Jack Brady made a couple of fantastic saves. But a draw was a fair result on the night.
And Longford boosted by the return of Sam Verdon.
Yeah, let's speak about that now. That's a huge re-signing. I got whispers of that over the weekend. I heard that Sam had left Finn Harps just before the transfer deadline. And obviously then naturally Longford Town was going to be one of the first destinations that came to mind, as he was there last season and performed excellently under Neil Fenn. So to get him back, And as I've just said there, I feel the midfield, just those middle three, they're a bit similar. So Verdon can play in a number of positions. He can play centre midfield. He can play in a number 10 role. He can play up front. So it gives Neil Fenn options now.
It does, yeah. And you think of what the criticisms were last season when we had a lot of injuries. The squad looked threadbare. Great to have a player like Verdon who can slot into a number of positions.
Yeah, because as I said, when Dean Byrne came off the bench, when Hopkins came off the bench and Jamie Doyle came off the bench, That's when Longford started to play. Mm. So to have them options, and now you've got another option in Verdon, You've got the likes of Jamie Hollywood still to come back. So there's a good squad starting to build at Longford, and Neil Fenn will be very pleased with that.
We'll move on with hot favourite Shells winning 3-2 at Galway. But that wasn't the whole story, Kieran, because Galway went 2-0 up.
Two screamers.
They were 2-0 up from Kelly and Vinnie Farty. And they were 2-0 up till the 74th minute.
Yeah, I watched the highlights of this the other day. Some turnaround. First thing we must say, absolutely well done to Galway United.
Yeah.
Their reclaim the Dyke Road was absolutely a fantastic
Brilliant idea. Yeah, hats off for that one.
I think it was around 2,500 that attended. So super. If they can keep anywhere near that up going forward, fantastic. A lot of local players, a lot of young players, so there's a reason for the people of Galway to go out and support their team this season. And if they get games like that all season, obviously they'd like the result to go the other way, but the entertainment was fantastic on the night.
But you just looked at that Shells lineup, and the goals came from, no surprise, Kilduff with two and Moore with one. They're going to be very potent this season.
Premier,
you know,
players.
Exactly. And someone actually said, you put that Shells team in the Premier League, Would you expect them to challenge for Europe?
Yeah, they'd be up. I would expect them to be mid-table and maybe challenging with the likes of Derry, etc.
Yeah.
It might take them a season or two, obviously, to step into the Premier, but if we're talking just hypothetically, then yeah, they definitely could on paper.
Yeah.
When the scores were coming through at the game down in Limerick, one Longford supporter behind me, when he heard Shells were 2-0 down, he said, I told you can't buy a squad, you can't just buy all these players. But he said, Shells will do nothing this season.
Really?
I didn't hear a lot from him after the three goals, so... we certainly fancy Shells for the title. I said to you on the show last week it might take them 5 or 6 games to fully gel and fully get going, but they're off to a flyer now. I think this could be the start of something special. Let's bring you our next interview, folks. We're going to hear now from the goal scorer at Eamon Deasy Park on Friday night. It's Vinnie Fatterty of Galway United FC. So Vinnie Fatterty joins us on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. A disappointing start for Galway. They were 2-0 up against Shelburne at the weekend, but Shells came firing back to win 3-2. Vinnie, welcome to the show.
Cheers, thanks a million. Thanks for having me.
Vinnie, we'll speak about that result shortly, but first question I have to ask you is a very serious one. Whose goal was better, yourself or Colin Kelly? Two absolutely amazing strikes at Eamon Deasy Park the other night.
Definitely for me, Colin's was better. Particularly because it was his weak foot, and I think Prendergast was on his way back to the line to clear it, so pretty much had to be inch perfect, and it was, so it would get my vote anyways.
God, I taught yours now, the technique in that one, I fancied it myself.
Yeah, Conor Barrett's ball to me was perfect, to be fair. I just kind of peeled, and I'm not the fastest player in the world, so the service needs to be good, and it was, so it was nice to score, especially in my first game back. Just disappointing, really, how it ended up.
Yeah, as I said there in the intro, 2-0 up and Shells have fired back 2 goals from Kieran Kilduff, their big signing. Were you impressed by Shells? Obviously, there's been so much talk about them. There's a lot of pressure on their shoulders with the tag of favourites this season.
Look, they're a good team. I kind of knew what they'd be about. We had Alan and Kevin had both done a lot of work on them, and we had a game plan, and it kind of worked up until the 75th minute. They had a lot of the ball, but it was kind of, that was the way we set up. We planned on letting them have a little bit at back. Just individual errors really cost us. Up until the first goal, I kind of felt comfortable, but these things happen. We've a young squad, and it's a real learning curve for them. So, it was very, very disappointing, but, we learn from it and we move on.
One good thing to see was the attendance there, really good attendance. There was the Reclaim the Dyke walk, and is there a real good feeling about this this season ahead in Galway?
Yeah, there is actually massive. That kind of crept up on all the players. It was only probably a week before that we really started to notice all this going on. And we were kind of just busy getting about pre-season, but there's a real feel-good factor, even around town this week, out for coffee or walking on the street, the amount of people have come up and said, kidding about the result, but great performance, and I think everyone's really proud. There's kind of that I don't know what word to put on it, but like, it's a real Galway community thing now this year, something that I haven't seen before with the club, and everyone seems to be getting behind it, to be honest. Normally after losing like that, if you are getting anyone commenting, it's something negative, but everything's been really, really positive all week from just random people around town. So it's up to us now to, I'm sure they won't be too forgiving if this is a common trend, but up to us now to give them a team that they're going to be proud of for the coming season.
And realistically, what are the aims for the season? I mean, it's a very young squad. There's been a lot about recruiting locally with Project DNA, and what can they actually go on and achieve this season?
That's a good question. It's such a young squad. It's hard to know exactly goals. We're kind of only taking it one week at a time, if we're being honest. We have set goals within the group, but we're not looking too far ahead either. Just constantly trying to progress, and this week now it's been about what did we learn last week, and what are we bringing into the Wexford game. But to be honest with you, the whole division is very sheltered. Are obviously the clear on paper, they're the clear favourites. But outside of that, it's very, very probably the closest first division I can remember. Everyone's quite even. So it's hard to know where anyone's going to end up, but we won't be too negative about Anton anyways. We're going to be looking to ourselves and finish as high up the table as possible.
And Vinny, I'd love to get your thoughts on your time in Cypress. How was that as an experience, and are you hoping to use that experience to your advantage in the First Division this season, especially as you mentioned there, it's a younger and locally based squad at Galway?
Yeah, first off, I loved it over there. The lifestyle, everything was great. Our team at Pike, they were in the First Division in Cypress. I loved it. I spent the back end of last season with them, so the second half of their season, and the start of this season with Pike. 25, 26 games over there with them. It was a very enjoyable year, but the plan was always to come back to Ireland this year. It was a 1 year thing really, and I was one of the more senior players. I suppose I'm at that age now where no matter what squad I go into, I'll be one of the more senior players. But it was a similar enough group, maybe a little bit older, definitely a lot more multicultural, but kind of the same. I'm not the type of guy that's going to go into the dressing room and start roaring and shouting at players. I'll have a word with someone if I feel like I can offer something, or if I've been in it, they've been in before. But I think, look, everyone learns by seeing, really. I'd better let my actions do the talking. And but it's a really good group, to be honest with you. There's sometimes a younger, I wouldn't say an attitude, but they come from being the top dogs at under 17 level, and they kind of have a notion, but there's no one in that our group like that. Everyone's they're all willing to learn. They're all great lads, and it's a really nice thing to be involved in, to be honest.
Well, Vinny, it's been a pleasure having you on. We were supposed to have you on before, but I seem to remember after Longford dumped Sligo out of the cup, you bottled it. So it's been a pleasure having you on this time.
I was only in the door at Sligo. I figured it wasn't. It probably wasn't a good. What I couldn't add that in positive. And, I wasn't in the door long enough to be negative or care and stripped off of anyone, so I thought.
You've met up for tonight, you've added plenty of positivity. Great to get the views from Galway. As John said, there seems to be an awful lot going on, a lot of positivity around Galway for once, which hasn't always been the case in recent years. But Vinny, thanks once again for joining us, and best wishes for the rest of the season.
Thanks a million, thank you. I won't say the same to you because we've got them with you, so I hope you do well, but
yeah, don't worry, we won't ask you on the podcast after long for turning you over again, so good man. Thanks a million, Vinny.
Cheers.
BetweenTheStripes.ie is sponsored by Diaga. Based in Buncrana, County Donegal, Diaga are world leaders in top-class logo and graphic design, website building, film production, illustration, and much more. For further information, please visit Diaga.ie. Enjoying the show so far? Why not leave us a review on iTunes? Want something featured on next week's show? Get in touch via Twitter at Between Stripes or find us on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Finally, our new website address is www.betweenthestripes.ie. Enjoy the second half.
Okay, John, so it's that time of the week again. It's time for the St. Mel's Brewing Prediction Game. As always, the Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by stmelsbrewing.com. Make sure you check out their website, check out their Facebook page as well. They're also on Twitter. And keep an eye out at your local off-license for St. Mel's fine craft beers. Absolutely quality product. Brewed here in lovely Longford, and as always, drink responsibly. John, the good news is this week, I pasted you last week in the St. Mel's Brewing Prediction Game.
How many have you? I know you don't like mentioning that. You haven't mentioned that at least once this tonight.
And I got a couple of score lines correct, so I'm taking a double score. I'm now 2-1 up.
You absolute joker. That's what you are, joker. You never gave me a two points, but that was because I was sort of like Champions League and you were that's relegation last season, cannon fodder.
Is
that
past,
right?
It's in the past, yeah.
Yeah. The scars are still healing, I think.
I'll heal it with St. Mel's Brewing at the end of the season.
Come on, get on with the show anyway.
Yeah, right. So we're going with the First Division first. So let's go to the Carlisle grounds. Bray host Limerick.
Yeah, well, you weren't too impressed with Limerick, were you?
Very, very direct, I thought. Very physical. Now, at the back, they were quite tight. But as I said, when Longford brought on, I suppose, what I'd describe as their flair players off the bench, they did open Limerick up a little bit towards the end, and Jack Brady had to make some good saves. And I'm looking at this Bray team, and I'm looking at Dylan McGlade. Yeah. And I think he could have some fun against this Limerick back four.
Well, yeah, he could indeed. And for that reason, I'm going with a home win, Kieran.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think, you know, we're talking about Shells this season as favourite, but I think Bray will be on the coattails.
Just for anyone that isn't aware yet, Between the Stripes TV, give it a look up on YouTube, because you'll enjoy our last review show, our League of Ireland review show. I was speaking to Tommy Barra after the game.
You got pelters.
Yeah, let's just say he listens, and he wasn't too impressed with our criticism of one of his defenders.
Evening, Tommy.
Evening, Tommy. Yeah, so Tommy Barrett listens, so there's no excuse for the rest of you. But yeah, a bit of fun with myself and Tommy over Robbie Williams. And he was a bit disappointed that he hasn't been on the show as much as Neil Fenn and Stephen Henderson have. So
yeah, you've obvious bias there, Kieran. Yeah,
we'll have to rectify that in the next few weeks, John. Very enjoyable stuff. But do check it out on YouTube, folks.
So anyway, we're unanimous for a Bray win then, Tommy.
Yeah. He definitely won't listen after this.
No.
Let's move along to the next one, John. Shells against Cabo.
I can't see anything more on the home win with this one, Kieran. Shells.
Just too much firepower, John.
Yeah, they have. You look at the team lineup, and then you have a look at Kevin Teely's.
Kevin Teely, we could kind of copy and paste our match previews from last season. You're just looking and thinking, where are the goals going to come from? You're looking at Marty Waters. If you sniff him out,
there's
where are the rest
massive
of the goals come from?
Over reliance on Kieran Marty Waters, and I can't see anything different. Look, home win for me all day.
I think this could be a heavy home win.
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah.
I think 3 or 4.
Yeah. They've already got the scoring boots. 3 in the last 15 minutes at Galway.
The atmosphere as well at Tallaght is going to be bouncing for that one.
Yeah. Home win.
Moving along to the next one. This is an interesting one. Wexford, off the back of that defeat in Athlone, they host Galway, who lost their opening game but were very impressive against Shells.
Yeah, they were. And for that reason, I'm going to go with a Galway win. I think Wexford are going to struggle this season. I know they went 1-0 up at Athlone, but
very young side.
Yeah, very young side.
And not just young, inexperienced in terms of senior League of Ireland football.
And Danny Fellin probably suspended.
Took the words out of my mouth. The man they would be looking at for a game like this against his former club of last season, he's out, he's suspended. So, yeah, you've got to go with a Galway win.
Yeah, Galway win for me, Kieran.
Moving along, Cove against Athlone Town, another interesting one.
Well, no excuse for getting on the ground late for this one for Cove. might be tricky, more tricky for Athlone. They've a fair old journey there. But Cove, I think it's safe to say they didn't really impress first match, Kieran.
No, definitely not. But we have to take into account what happened. And they are a different proposition at home. But as I've said time and time, I'm just struggling to see where the goals are going to come from. Whereas I look at that loan there, Kaleem Simons got off to a flyer. As you said, Keelan Dillon can belt one in at any time. You've got Darren Meenan out wide. If he gets a run of games, can get plenty of assists. There's threat all over the pitch for Athlone.
There's a few players that haven't really ever had a real run in teams. I know I was talking about Kaleem Simon, but the same could be said for the likes of Keelan Dillon and
even Reece Gorman.
Darren Meenan in and out of the Longford team. So, you know, with
players
a good
with something
run
to prove.
And with a good run, they they could do okay.
Yeah, I think they'll definitely develop as the season goes on. This is a tricky away one, but certainly one they can look to get something from. I'm going to go with an Athlone win.
Wow, I can't believe this, because so am I. Two of us going for an Athlone win away from home. You would never have heard that in the last couple of seasons.
I think we followed each other on every result, so we'll have to go with a score prediction on the next one. And considering I got Longford's right last week with a 0-0, it's looking good for me here. So Longford host Drogheda United, who got off to an absolute flyer.
I know they did, yeah, but I'm going to go with my heart and go for a Longford win. I know it's going to be tricky against Drogheda because they did get off to a flyer, but... You know, Longford need to get off the mark and get 3 points in the first home match.
These games were so, so crucial last season in terms of the playoffs. The game, I think, back to always was the first meeting between the sides in United Park when Longford were 1-0 up until the 97th minute or something like that. And Kieran Kelly, who's no longer with them, obviously, he scored a last-gas equaliser. And it was that point in the end that got Drogheda into the playoffs, because when Longford lost to Drogheda towards the very, very end of the season, had Longford picked up the extra 2 points in that first meeting, they would have already been secured of a playoff place. So again, you're looking at these two teams battling out for maybe that final playoff position. So this is a huge game early on in the season. Longford, as you said, I don't think they've got going yet. I think Neil Fenn needs to decide on his best midfield, because I don't think the three he played in Limerick is his best midfield. He needs to decide who's going to play up front. I thought Dean Byrne was excellent when he came on. Aaron Dobbs, a lot of people think he can do it for Longford this season and be their goal man, but he didn't have the best of games in Limerick. Drogheda, plenty of goal threat all over the pitch. A well-drilled side. Tim Clancy did an excellent job with them last season. They're all familiar with each other. As I said, they've lost Kieran Kelly, but they've kept the main core of the team there. So I think this will be a tight encounter, as they always are. With Longford being at home, I'm going to say it'll be a draw, but I wouldn't be surprised if Drogheda go with all 3 points.
Yeah, I'm going to go for, well, like I said, I'm going to go for a Longford win, because I just think it'll be, if they start with 1 point from two games, they're a long way behind Kieran, even so early in the season.
Well, I'm glad you've gone with a different one. We won't have to go with a score prediction there. Let's move along to the Premier Division. Cork against Derry has an interesting ring to it.
Certainly does. I think it's going to be another of these seasons for Derry where they might be great at home, but they could struggle on their travels. Cork back to winning ways there in their last match, so I think they might nick this one.
Rovers and Dundalk aside, I think this actually has the potential to be the game of the round. Cork, a lot of people expecting them to struggle this season, and their first two results do suggest that. Derry have had a decent start, but you've raised question marks over their defensive capabilities. So you're looking at these two teams, can they... Obviously, you'd expect Cork to finish in the top four. Derry are a side you'd expect to push for the top four. So if Derry can go away to Turner's Cross and get all 3 points, that could have huge ramifications going forward for the rest of the season.
Are you going for a shock prediction, Kieran?
I am. I'm going for a Derry win.
Well, okay, right. Well, we're totally against each other on that one. So interested to see how that one works out, Kieran.
I just think there's plenty of firepower in that team. I like the look of Parkhouse up front. Yeah. Obviously, you've got Barry McNamee, and he'll definitely have a point to prove John Coffey in this
game. Yeah.
So I fancy Derry's chances.
Be interesting to see. Let's see.
Let's go to UCD against Pats.
UCD, it's fair to say they haven't had the easiest start back in the top league. And,
no easy games this season. I know that can be a cliche, but there really isn't.
No.
Not in the top flight this season.
And I don't think they're going to find this one easy. Pats on paper look streets ahead of UCD. So for that reason alone, the creativity all over the team... I think this should be a comfortable win for Pats.
We're throwing out the cliches tonight. The game isn't played on paper, but I would have to agree with you. I thought Pats were slightly off their game the other night against Finn Harps. UCD, there's a lot of pressure starting to build in terms of getting just off the mark. They need to get off the mark, get something, even a point would just get them rolling. But this is one of the most difficult tasks they'll face all season, seeing Pats come to town with all their star power. But will that pitch maybe play an impact on this one? It'll affect both teams, I suppose, because they both like to play an attractive style of football.
Yeah, it will.
Do Pats have the ability, though, to mix it up that little bit more? If things were tight 0-0, they could bring a Shaw, maybe go more direct, have Drennan running off them.
I just think they've too much.
They've got the fullbacks bombing on. They just have too much, haven't they?
I love Pats as fullbacks, you know that. And I love the way they play. And for me, Madden's one of the most dangerous fullbacks in the league. Mm. And you know, I just think they've got something more than UCD.
Yeah, I think I'd have to agree with you. I'm going for a Pats win.
Yep.
Moving along to the RSC, Waterford host Bowes, another very interesting matchup.
Yeah, well, I think this could be an absolute cracker, Kieran. I know you talked about Cork Derry, but this for me, I'm really looking forward to this one because you've got two teams that really like to play the ball and They've got a nice way of playing, and Bows are on fire at the moment.
Should be a good crowd at this as well.
Yeah, I would have thought so. Yeah, because it's a decent trip down as well. Yeah, it's a nice trip, nice place to go, and you'd expect them to take a good away following, especially considering the start they've made.
Yeah, so how do we see this one playing out?
Well, I think it's got to end at some stage. I think Waterford are going to be the team that's going to beat Bowes. Nobody wants me to predict anything for Bowes because...
because no, it was me. I think they don't want calling the ball.
Either us, I think, to be honest, yeah. Because we keep writing them off and writing them off and they keep winning. So Waterford win and you should be all delighted, Bowes fans.
Yeah, funny enough, I haven't wrote down a Bowes win here. I've actually gone for a draw. I think Bastian Heary is the man the Bowes are going to have to shackle in that midfield.
Sure is.
Going to have to find a way of doing that. But you're looking at the battle of the strikers at either end. You've got Akinade at one end, absolute powerhouse. You have Dinny Corcoran, who is in electric form. It just has the potential, as I said, with the atmosphere that should be there, it has the potential to be a great matchup.
Waterford look a little shaky at the back, I have to say.
Yeah, if Bowes can just find a way to keep Heary quiet on the night, I think they can walk away with a point.
Yeah, Waterford will start leading Akinade to start scoring at some stage. Yeah. He struggled last season. Yeah, and we know he's a great big presence up front, but he's got to start scoring.
Yeah, you can talk all you want about working hard and creating chances for other people, but when you look at a striker, what's the first thing you look for? Their goals, and he hasn't done it yet at Waterford, so could this be the game that spark him into life?
We shall see.
Harps against Sligo, it's a derby.
Yeah, and it should be a good one as well. And
important at the bottom.
It'll be a real... I can see this game being a real battle, can you?
Yeah.
Yeah,
two physical teams.
But I have to say, I think Ollie's got Harps really well drilled from what I've seen so far. Defensively, excellent so far this season.
In saying that, though, they've had a couple of chances against the bigger side. So you're looking at a Sligo team who haven't got going yet.
Question marks for me over the signings.
Yeah, as always in the last couple of seasons with Sligo, they just seem to struggle to attract the type of player you'd like to see at a club that size.
Gamble signings, if you ask me, often.
I think Harps, with the home advantage here, I really do fancy them.
It's going to be a low scorer, but I think I agree. I think Harps will nick it. It'll be a set piece or something. That's where they're going to threaten this season, Harps. It'll be a corner, a free kick or something.
What's going to be interesting this one is Curtaro coming up against Sligo. Yeah. He's been slotted in the centre midfield so far this season. And I told you that would happen after seeing him play against Athlone in pre-season.
Yeah.
He's just a touch of class in the middle. He just does everything. So 2-3 touches, ball out, little simple pass, keep possession. That's his job in this team.
What's he going to do if he scores?
He won't give it adrenaline anyway, I don't think. But I'm excited for this one because this will tell us a lot about Sligo. We're expecting Harps to be down there and battling and be organised and looking to nick these 1-0 results. But for Sligo, if they don't win this one, then you're looking at a long season.
Yeah, they'll need the new strikers to start scoring as well at some stage as well.
What way do you go on this one?
I'm going to go for a Harps win. They'll nick it from a free kick or a corner or something.
Yeah, I've gone for a Harps win. Can I get a scoreline prediction? I've gone 1-0 on this one.
1-0.
I was in there first. I can't wait for that.
You just keep changing the rules, Kieran.
It's my 1-0. Podcast. Final game of the weekend. It's an absolute belter from Tala. It should be... The place should be absolutely lifted out of it. It should be some atmosphere. I'm so excited for this one, as you can hear. It's Rovers against Dundalk.
Yeah, it's going to be a cracker, isn't it? I can't wait for this one myself. There's some really, really good fixtures this weekend. Yeah. And I think it'll give us a good indication of how the league's going to go. So I think Dundalk will be disappointed with the start this season.
But they won't panic.
They won't.
They made this exact start last season.
They won't, and I think Rovers will be encouraged by the start. Okay, there was that minor mishap against Bowes, but it's a derby. Anything can happen. Yeah. And
Let's get them all out of the way.
Bowes do have a little evil eye over Rovers at the moment. So, I'm cliched out, Kieran, but I think Rovers going to win this one.
This game's really interesting me because you're looking at Rovers who had made a great start with their opening two wins and then you're thinking they're going to go in and finally get that hoodoo out of the way against Bowes. Then you're looking at Dundalk who have had a disappointing start by their standards. Mm-hmm. So you would have been looking at this fixture as Dundalk going in with all the pressure on them. Now, there still is a pressure on Dundalk to go and be able to show they can get a big win in Tala without Stephen Kenny. But from Rovers' point of view, they've lost the derby, so if they lose this one, then we're going to start hearing again, oh, look, Rovers are too soft, they're not consistent enough, they can't win the big games.
And you know what? There's so many things we keep repeating ourselves over. Derry's defence, for me, Rovers, where's the main striker coming again?
Yes.
You know, they're playing Green up front, and to me, they still haven't fixed that.
Oh, I have the pen. I'm about to change my... And I never change. I think this could be a draw. I'm just thinking back to the fixture last season that was very, very early on the season. It was a cagey nil-nil draw at Talla, and I think this could be something along the same lines.
Yeah, well, it'd be close anyway, that's
I
for
did
sure.
have Dundalk wrote down. I just think, because that reason you mentioned, I think Rovers are lacking a front man.
They are, but they've midfielders that can pick a great pass and put somebody in.
Mm.
But then again, so have Dundalk.
Thanks.
I've made my prediction,
mate. You made it a lot harder for me. Right, what way did you go?
Rovers.
I'm going draw.
Okay.
That's no chance of...
Look, what's
no
the chance point of us talking about? Let's get an expert on.
Yeah, that's my chance of a Sunday dinner in Dundalk gone. But as you said, let's get an expert on. We're going to hear now our final interview of the night. It's going to be a man that's going to be heavily involved in the action, I'm sure, on Friday night in the Talla Stadium. It's Aaron McAneff. So Aaron McAneff joins us now on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. The last time we spoke to Aaron, of course, he was in the red and white of Derry City, but this season he's with Shamrock Rovers. Aaron, you're very welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having us, Kieran. Thank you.
So Aaron, it's been a good start to the season for Shamrock Rovers, but obviously that setback on Monday night will be very disappointing. What have you made of the opening few weeks for Shamrock Rovers?
I've enjoyed the opening few weeks. We had two good results, away to Waterford and then home to Derry. And then, obviously, we were disappointed Monday night in the Derby game. I think with the red card, it was disappointing for us to go down to 10 men so early and then for Bowes to get a penalty. It was a frustrating night for us, I thought. But overall, I think we've showed good signs for the start of the season.
Yeah, it looks promising, and quite a few new players coming in. Seems to be gelling pretty quickly. So good start there. But I have to ask you straight up about this penalty, Aaron. some cheek scoring the Panenka against your ex club.
No, I've said before. Like I've seen a few of the lads that I would have knew playing at Derry. They went and spoke to Peter Cherry before I hit the penalty, and I think they were going to tell him which way to dive, and he actually dived the way I would have usually hit my penalties. So I kind of had it in my head that he was going to dive either way, so I thought I'd just give it a go, and thankfully it went in.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing, if it comes off, it's class, but if it doesn't, you can look at it.
All I was missing was a bit of salt and vinegar. Absolutely class, a brilliant chip.
Yeah, we thought it was brilliant anyway, the team. Yeah,
oh, cheers.
So,
cheers, lads.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was a brilliant atmosphere that match as well.
It was, like, whenever I scored, obviously, the crowd, it went crazy, like, and I enjoyed that moment, like, but even when we came out of the tunnel for the start of the game, they had flags and stuff in the new stand, and the other stand with the home support was packed as well, so it was a great atmosphere, and it all, like, the new stand, it almost felt like a European game or something like that. There was that much of an atmosphere at it, so it was great to play in such a good atmosphere, and I think when you have that at home, it can only benefit you as a team, and it helps you kick on during the match, and hopefully the fans keep coming out throughout the season.
Yeah, it's definitely improved with the three. So when hopefully Talla gets the fourth as well, that'll be superb for the atmosphere there.
Excellent.
So, yeah, and we're expecting a good attendance in this next match with Dundalk. That's going to be a huge game, isn't it?
Tasty.
I think they don't come much bigger. Obviously, Dundalk champions last year, and that's the level we have to try and get to. And you want to be playing against the best players, and they've gone and shown that over the course of a few years now that they're always going to be up there, and they've got a great squad of players, but it's a challenge that we'll look forward to, and I'm sure we'll be prepared for it.
I was thinking it could be something near to a full house for a match like that.
Well, I hope so, because as I said, like the atmosphere at home can only benefit us as a team, and players always want to be playing in front of big crowds and stuff. And when there is an atmosphere, it just gives you a lift, and there's that excitement to go and do well. So I hope the fans turn out in their numbers again.
And look, it's funny you should say about like a European atmosphere. I was looking at the players brought in and the upgrades at the ground. You know, is a run in Europe one of the objectives for this season?
Well, I think, like, obviously, you just sort of take game by game in the league for now, and then it would obviously be great to get a run in Europe whenever that comes round in the summer. It'll depend on the draw and stuff, but it would be great for me personally, and I'm sure collectively as a team and for a club and for the fans, it would be brilliant to go on a European run and do well.
Aaron, great having you on once again. Thanks very much for joining us. I'll be at the game Friday night, absolutely buzzing. Should be some atmosphere, and as you said, I don't think it comes much bigger than this game, even though it's so early on in the season. So we're looking forward to seeing you in action.
Thanks very much for having me, boys. See you later.
Cheers, Aaron.
Thanks.
So, as always, thanks to our three guests who joined us tonight, Dinny Corcoran, Aaron McAneff, and Vinny Fatterdy. That has been another episode of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. As I said at the very start of the show, we're absolutely overwhelmed with the support we've had in the first 2 weeks of our third season here. Over 1,000 listeners to the first two shows of the season, and we had over 1,000 for our Christmas special, so that's 3 in a row. Let's make it 4. Get this spread far and wide across all League of Ireland fan groups on Twitter, on Facebook, on whatever else is going these days. Thanks as always to our three main sponsors, Flomax.ie, Diageo.ie, and stmelsbrewing.com. Please support our sponsors as it helps support us, and we're continuing to support the League of Ireland by getting the message out there. Go out and enjoy a game this weekend. As myself and John have said, there's some absolutely humdinging ties. So wherever you may be, make sure you tell people about BetweenTheStripes.ie. Check us out. We have a website, we have this podcast, we have our TV channel, and we might have some exciting news coming up soon as well about another layer of content we might be bringing you throughout the rest of the season. But until next week, thanks for joining us, and we will speak to you again soon.
Subscribe to Between the Stripes LOI podcast now on iTunes, Audio Boom, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast, or Podcast Republic, and never miss an episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Between Stripes, or like us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Between the Stripes. Add us on Snapchat. Our username is BTS1924. While for all the latest League of Ireland news and updates, you can visit BetweenTheStripes.ie. Until next week, thanks for listening.